Earlier this week, I had a quite painful, just from an emotional standpoint, not physical, thankfully, but it was a very painful realization that I am actually finding myself being incredibly grateful for, although it is easier to feel that way now since it has been several days that I've had the opportunity to work through this. And mindfulness practice and mindful coping practice have literally allowed me to go from an emotional state where I was almost completely shut down and beside myself, so to speak, to where I could actually cope. Anyway, the details of the story itself are really not that incredibly interesting, but so what I want to do is really just, you know, go right to the heart of the matter. I actually have always, just to give a little bit of background, and it's not that I want to necessarily go on about this, but I always, as far as I know, have always had body image issues, and I've always had issues and struggles with my appearance and with how I think other people see me and what I think that they see. And I know that ultimately I've learned along the way, and especially with mindfulness practice, that those things, so much of that, it revolves around my thoughts about it. And earlier this week, I received an image, and it was basically just a depiction. It wasn't something that was created specifically as a representation of me, but it was something that was from an acquaintance, and I know for sure, I know them enough to know that they meant no harm by it. There was no sort of commentary. There was no sort of, you know, it did not feel at all like, and I really do not believe that there was any intent to hurt me in any way. It was all in fun. And the character, kind of the depiction or the character, there was nothing horrible about it. And that's what I find so interesting, is there was nothing that was outwardly something that, you know, should really cause me this sort of suffering. And I realize I caused it for myself. And that is the most important thing that I can say about this, is that any concerns that I have about what I think that I look like are just that. They are thoughts in my head. They're just notions in my head, essentially, about what I think that I look like. And just because, and I've had these discussions with people before, really deep discussions where I have had an opportunity to discuss these thoughts that I have and to find people that I trust that I can get the feedback from that will actually tell me that is just me seeing what I see. And I realize ultimately we in our own minds and in our own bodies, we see what we see and we think about it, whatever we think about it. When I received this image, and again, it was all in fun. There was no intention to hurt me. I am confident about that. It literally sent me into a tailspin, so to speak. I found myself just completely locked up in thought and reaction to this. And what I find most interesting about the characterization or the depiction was that it was nothing outwardly so, but it was things that were very subtle. I would actually refer to this as some sort of cosmic accident. It just happened to be, and I can really say this laughing now and smiling, because I've had an opportunity to work through this, and mindfulness practice has really allowed that. But in the moment, it's so amazing to me how so quickly I zeroed in on specific aspects of this image, and there were several things about it that just set me off. And what I found even more interesting about it was there was a few things about it that I don't think really had anything to do with me at all, but it was more of the personification or the characterization of this person and what you might, what's the word I want to use here? I know there's a word for this. It's not coming to me, and I apologize. I know that it will at some point, but it's basically a stereotype. That's the word I was wanting to use. And I found myself reacting to this stereotype because I live in a certain part of the country. There was this sense that somehow there was this there was a kind of a sensitivity to that. And so not only was it about me, but I felt like it was about where I live and what where I live means culturally. And I found myself reacting on all these different levels. And it was just mind-blowing to me how I got to a place where I literally felt like, you know, for a period of time, and it wasn't a long time. I mean, it wasn't a whole day, but it probably wasn't even a whole hour. But in terms of the point at which I was emotionally locked up, literally could not take, you know, deal with the task at hand. I was very, very, almost, I'd call it almost disturbed by this image. And again, it was not the image itself. It was how I was, and that's the most important point I want to make here. And that's why I don't want to dwell on the image so much, but it was my thoughts about the image. And what's even more interesting to me is that the thoughts happen so quickly, the psychological reactions happen so fast that I know that a lot of this is unconscious. There's no way that I could have consciously thought all of these things. And so I realize sometimes when things trigger us, and I'm certainly not a professional in regards to mental health or psychology, so I don't want to get too deep into the weeds on this. But I know just what I experience in my own mind because I have, and the only reason I am able to do that, and it's available to any of us, is that I've practiced watching my mind. So that's the only perspective that I speak from, is someone with experience being a witness to my own thoughts and hopefully being a witness if I'm able to not get wrapped up in believing everything that I'm thinking about what I'm feeling. I have that option open to witness it and to be aware of it without believing it. But there again, I have to consciously make that choice in each and every moment to take advantage of the practice. But this, what I found was, is that it all happened so quickly. And I know, I feel very certain that it was all happening at once. And I think that is why I was so overwhelmed. And I was feeling, I really get the sense that there were things that came up from when I was a child. And being made fun of for how, being made fun of by other kids for how I looked. And growing up, and I know this is something that is fairly common. I'm not saying that everyone, I know that everyone has not struggled with this, but I know as children, sometimes it is very difficult to deal with the way we are treated by other kids, who sometimes are not overly sensitive to how these things affect us when we're being made fun of. And I also know that as an adult, that a lot of those memories, a lot of those things became triggers for me. And then a lot of it was, you know, that trauma. I don't really, and everyone, I probably stop short of calling it trauma, but it certainly, you know, it's along those lines, that, you know, the emotional scarring that takes place and those memories that we can repress and bury deep in our psyche, so to speak. I know that a lot of that stuff just was completely set off. You know, I felt like all the alarm bells were going off, and I was literally, I always use this phrase, not always, but I tend to use this phrase, I was collapsing in on myself. And it really did feel that way to me. It's like all of these thoughts were so overwhelming. And I don't know if other people can identify as they listen to this, but there's sometimes all of the thoughts coming at one time, all of the reactions that are happening can literally just make you feel like you're folding in on yourself, so to speak. And I knew that that's what was happening. I became aware of it fairly quickly. But the challenge was that I was triggered so deeply. This is something that is clearly one of my core issues in my life's journey. This is one of those that even today, I might just get a glance at myself in the mirror and suddenly, you know, immediately begin to be triggered in some way and begin to start thinking self-defeating thoughts about myself and why I think that, you know, that why I'm seeing what I think that I see. And I don't want to delude myself either. I know I'm a human being. I know that, you know, none of us are perfect in any particular way, and that it's very easy to begin to think self-defeating thoughts. about our appearance in some way. I don't want to assume that everyone does it, but I've spoken with and had deep conversations with enough people to know that it is certainly a fairly common human issue from a psychological standpoint. I found myself dealing with being completely flooded and overwhelmed emotionally with all of these thoughts about the reactions that I was having. And I found myself, it was almost as if I found myself thinking thoughts that, and I'm still not sure why this was, but I got really wrapped up in being focused on asking myself over and over again, is this how this person sees me? I mean, I know they sent this and kind of made a joke about it, but is this really how they see me? Is this really what, and there was, you know, basically a cultural stereotype. And when I received this, I thought, is this really? And I kept asking myself that over and over again. I don't know why that was, but I know that clearly whatever I'm asking myself repetitively, and not to the point of it being obsessive, but it was just, it kept coming up. And clearly I was fixated on it. And I realized that in a lot of ways, it is probably not uncommon or not surprising that that's what I was continuing, the question I was asking myself. And I realized in that moment that so much of any hang-ups that I have about my appearance or any sort of characterization about who I am or where I'm from and what that means, I know that everyone potentially has this. I don't want to say that everyone struggles with it. I don't want to say that everyone is aware of it to this degree, but I know that this is something that is not just me. I know that ultimately we all have the potential to get wrapped up in self-defeating thoughts about ourselves or hypercritical thoughts about ourselves or focusing on the things that don't necessarily make us feel great about ourselves, whether it's physical, whether it's socioeconomic, whether it's cultural, whatever it is. But I know that where I'm going to suffer the most is where I am focused on this and where the thoughts that I am thinking about myself are making me feel worse. They are actually preventing me from feeling like a whole human being. And ultimately, if I am not thinking thoughts of loving myself unconditionally and being enough, which I know that I am and all of us are, that it can make it really, really difficult for me to cope. And thankfully, just simply being able to be aware of the fact that I was doing this, just being able to be aware that I was collapsing in on myself through really getting wrapped up in my own thoughts about what I felt like when I saw this image, how I was interpreting it. I could not stop myself from reacting the way that I did. That I know, because the reactions happen when they happen and they happen how they happen. And I know, and I tried for years to not have emotional reactions, and it just simply didn't ever work, and I gave up on that many years ago. So I can go through life not bracing against or being afraid to, and that's really, and I found myself asking that question. I literally, and that just came up right now. I remember thinking to myself, there was a thought at some point of, you know, see, this is why I used to not want to be around people. This is why I don't want to meet new people, because I always run the risk of someone sharing something that triggers me. And then I stopped for a moment and realized, yes, that certainly could be a reason why I don't want to be around new people. That certainly could be a reason why I only want to surround myself with people who I know for sure are not going to point things out. And I'm not saying to the point of enabling me, but I just know that it's safe. And then at some point, if my needs for being protected begin to be too much, or the list gets too long, pretty much at some point, everyone in my life, even if it's a few people, will fall off that list. And I began to really reflect on this, that, and that's how I ended up at some point in my life being very, very reclusive and very isolated, because I kept setting the bar higher for not wanting to be hurt, for not wanting people to disagree with me, for not wanting people to call into question my thoughts about things and how I see life and how I see my part in it. And I found myself in a place where suddenly there was no one left. And I knew very quickly, it's almost like I was having a conversation with myself, not out loud. But it really was. I realized, yes, I do want to be in life. I don't want to go back to being isolated. And I know that being triggered the way that this triggered me, and again, this has nothing to do with the person that sent it. And I hope that I'm getting that across. That's why I feel like I want to say it again. This has nothing to do with them. This has nothing to do with even the fact that they sent this image. It has everything to do with how I reacted to it. It has everything to do with my own interpretation of what I think that image says about me. This I want to take responsibility for. And ultimately, mindfulness practice has allowed me, and mindful coping for that matter, has allowed me to take responsibility for my own reactions. I don't want to go through life wanting to blame everyone else. And I don't want to go through life for, you know, saying something that hurt my feelings. And as someone who is incredibly sensitive, if I get down right down to it, everything that is said by other people, if I interpret it a certain way, has the potential to hurt my feelings. And that's another reason why at some point I gave up wanting to be around people, and especially meeting new people, which is highly unpredictable in terms of what is going to happen and, you know, how and when I will be triggered by something, because I have no way to really, because I don't know them enough to know what is going to happen. The good news is that I was able to get through this and to begin to have clarity thanks to mindfulness practice. And it was really a matter of just breathing in and out and just utilizing various meditative techniques to just get re-centered back in my own body, to get back in touch with my own body, to resist the urge. And I probably don't even want to call it resisting the urge, but just being aware of the fact that I was feeling the inclination to begin to become hypercritical about my own body and about myself and what all that represents. And instead, I couldn't stop those thoughts, but what I could do was actually breathe in and out and really be in my own body without the need to be able to determine what I thought it looked like or where I live, what that means and what that says about me that is actually not true, that is just a stereotype. And I realize, well, there's a lot of that in the world, and especially I know right now things in a lot of ways are very, very heated and very difficult in the world for these reasons. The last thing that I want to do is cause myself any more suffering by buying into that and beginning to be really overly critical of myself just because of the fact that I am triggered by something. And I know that I cannot be of any use to anyone else. I can't love anyone else unconditionally. And I know I know that everyone knows this already, but I feel like it bears repeating. I can't really love anyone else unconditionally if I can't do that with myself first. And in these moments, I really was not able to do a lot of that until I was able to ground myself back in my own being. And to be able to be in, you know, to be who I was in this body as a human being, where I found myself here on this earth, without needing to interpret what it means, with, you know, what it says about me or anything else or any choices that I've made. And ultimately, I was able to do that. And then at some point, I began to really, as I did more of that, and grounding and centering myself back in my own existence, whatever that meant. And actually, it didn't matter what it meant any longer. It didn't matter what it looked like. I was just able to be part of what is referred to as all that is, or the one, or consciousness, whatever you want to call it. Some people, you know, can refer to it as God. It's whatever you want to refer to that all that exists. And I was able to begin to get some perspective and some headspace again around this. And I began to see that these are deep, deep psychological and emotional reactions that I cannot prevent happening again. But what I can do is continue to practice being aware that my mind is carried away suddenly, that I have this emotional reaction, and then the thoughts start, and then the commentary starts, and then the dialogue, you know, with myself starts, and all these things take off, and they literally just one sets off another and another. And sometimes it happens so quickly that it can be incredibly overwhelming. And I know that what I want to try to do when I am overwhelmed is not try to, I certainly don't want to try to understand it all, because the more I do that, the more I'm going to be overwhelmed by trying to analyze why I'm overwhelmed. It's a game I never can win. So instead, what I'm going to focus on is breathing in and out. And I'm going to focus on being able to just witness what is going on in my head and in my mind, so to speak. And just let those thoughts do what they're going to do, because they eventually will dissipate. They always have for me. And anyone that I've taught this mindfulness practice to, or mindful coping to, anyone I've discussed this with, experiences that. And the longer that we practice on a sustained long-term basis, the more that we experience this. The thoughts in of themselves are just energy at a certain level, and they dissipate and they pass. And these emotional reactions that fuel these thoughts, or at least give the temptation to think more about these feelings that we have, this emotional energy, it all begins to dissipate if I get out of the way and if I'm not perpetuating it and giving it more energy. And at some point, it almost feels, now looking back at this, it almost feels miraculous that I can speak about this now and laugh and smile a little bit and be more lighthearted about something that had me literally completely beside myself and unable to cope. And I know that what has made it, what has contributed to that more than anything, what has empowered me to get back to being myself again, whatever that is, however it looks, is utilizing mindfulness practice. And I'm so incredibly grateful for that.